The other thing, just before we start recording, I don't know if you can hear the fans going, but it is very hot over here, so apologies if there's fan noise coming in. I have two of them running. It's going to be 40 degrees today. I'm like, ugh.
How dare your audio be slightly out of whack? Mine is never out of whack at all.
Well, you're a consummate professional, right? Unlike myself, so.
I run a tight ship over here.
I know. And I really need to lift my game. It's embarrassing, truly.
All right.
Anyway. Okay. Alrighty. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this bonus episode of the Read Right to Left podcast. We hinted at it. We made no promises, but it was too exciting to not do. This is our least favorite, or maybe most hated reads of 2023.
Or be hated, least honestly.
Big hated. The least favorite sounds very kind, and I don't want to be kind to either of these series. For those who are newer to the podcast, maybe every year on December we do our top five, which is collectively a top 10 of our favorite debuts for the year that had been. We put that out last month in December. But in preparation for those episodes, we do read a lot. We try to catch up on a lot of the volumes, volume one specifically, that we had missed or just hadn't prioritized over the course of the year. We are both working adults. Sometimes comics have to be deprioritized, which means it's a little bit of a mad rush at the end of the year. But it means that we're reading a lot to prep for that. And in saying that, a lot of the times, my favorites are stuff that I've already read. So it's like, I just am still reading a whole bunch of stuff to get through it. I don't know if that's the same for you, Ray, but it seems I've always got a pretty decent list going in. And then if something surprises me, that's great. Like Sweat and Soap, like Yakuza Fiancé, it happens, but certainly knowing our tastes and knowing what we prioritize, that end of year reading is more of a catch up for stuff we're interested in, might be good, have heard good things, want to check out before we finalize that list. And so both of the titles that we're going to be talking about today, I think, fall into that category. They've had a lot of buzz. They've won awards in Japan. One is completed in Japan. Mm-hmm. One is still ongoing. Both licensed in English, obviously, as is per the course for this podcast. But oh my god. It's quite rare, I think, for us, you and I, Ray, to find books that we really hate. Like, not just are bored or disappointed by, but actively they offend us, and we have to talk about it. We have to talk about it. There are some notable series that we do mention quite frequently on the podcast as things we do not like and do not condone. And I think these two will join that illustrious
illustrious
title of just the worst thing.
And it's interesting too. I don't know if this also applies to you, but I'm kind of guessing it does. Like, in the reading that I do, like, honestly, like, through the year, usually, but especially in that, like, catch-up that I'm doing for this podcast, usually, like, most years, I don't have titles that, like, offend me on such a visceral level. I tend to know my taste enough to, like, avoid things that, like, rankle me to such a degree. But to have two
that
of
are
them
obviously that one are obviously going to just be a bad time. Oh, I feel like I've been punked. I feel like something has happened. There was Mercury in retrograde. I don't know what was going on, but it truly, as you said, right? I 100% agree. There, of this catch up reading, we don't go into things wanting to hate them. And we do avoid the stuff that we know is not going to be for us, right? Like, mm-hmm. every so often you might try a title because you just hear so much about, and you're like, well, that's exactly what I expected, and I don't like it, and that's enough for me. Mm-hmm. But we are, I think, measured and matured adults, wherein we know ourselves, we know what we want to engage with, what we don't want to engage with. And truly, comics are not, manga, comics, whatever you want to call them, is not that important, right? Like, there's not a lot of bad books that keep me up at night. But man, these, man. I don't Ugh. Even know where to start with these.
All right, well, I think we should save objectively the funniest one for last and start with this ugly motherfucker that yes. gaslit All me right. with its, like, extremely cool cover.
Yes. Yeah, okay. This truly the ugliest child in class. They say every mother loves their child. I don't think that this mangaka loves their child. I don't know what is going on with this series. Seven Seas put in so much, as you said, the cover of this is so lovely. I feel you don't judge a book by its cover, but when it's manga, you kind of do. It does give you an idea of, like, what to expect, and oh my god, it is not this. What we are talking about, we should actually say the title. Yeah. We're talking about Orb, On the Movements of the Earth by Uoto?
Uoto, I think.
Omnibus Uoto, yes. Omnibus volumes, so the first volume that we got in English was volume 1 and 2. And normally, I find, aside from, like, the cost-cutting, profit margin aspect of that, and getting through a completed series faster as well, I find that normally, like, a series that gets an omnibus release does so because it allows you as the reader to, like, get more of the story. Because sometimes things are a bit of a slow start, right? So mm-hmm. it takes a little while to, like, hook the reader. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that doesn't happen until the second or third volume. But, oh my god, this was not good.
It's so bad. The series, it's about heliocentrism and, like, a mm-hmm. series of young men, I guess. I guess old men
as of
sometimes.
Now,
men.
Men.
Who, like,
young and
are
old men.
All of them hideous. who, like, discover that the Earth revolves around the sun instead of the other way around, and the Catholic Church gets super mad at them about it. And which sounds interesting. Like, you know, you're talking about, like, the history of science, you're talking about, like, you know, the clash between, like, the religious authority and, like, scientific achievement and progress, but it's so bad.
Exactly. This was one that I was, like, actively looking forward to, which makes this mm-hmm, worse,
same.
Right? It makes it worse because, like you, it's a really. I also find, like, this idea of the historical setting and science versus religion. Like, there's so much really interesting stuff with what the impact that religion has had on humanity over the course of its life, and then the scientific discovery kind of despite that.
And it's also, like, always interesting to get, like, a Japanese perspective on, like, these, yes, like, chapters in European history and, like, yeah, you know, European religions and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And So, I don't know whether it was because I was expecting one thing. I don't even really know what I was expecting, aside from, like, this being about, you know, scientists trying to prove that the Earth revolves around the sun, as was actually a thing that people were doing in history. But it wasn't what we got. And no. What we got not only was, like, I just think really poorly constructed, as Ray has said a million times, really fucking ugly.
The art in this is so
ugly. It is maybe one step up from Attack on Titan. And
I was gonna say, it's worse than Attack on Titan. It's like Attack on Titan if Hajime Isayama was an even worse artist.
Well, it's less dynamic than Attack on Titan. Attack on Titan can get away with a lot because it's got, like, cool monster fights in it, right? Like, it's ugly, and the characters are ugly, and the perspectives are all bad. But, like, people do like that art for all the wrong reasons, but they do. We're not going to get into that argument. This, because it's just a bunch of eggheads talking about science, it's also boring. Give me a monster fight. I honestly,
for a series, for a series about gazing up at the night sky, the backgrounds are bare and hideous, and the starry skies that they show us are just, like, pixelated, like, photographs.
Oh my god. Ugly.
It looks like something that I would have made, like, when I was 12.
I do not know how this series won so many awards. And when I first read this, and I kind of speculated in my ignorance, and I asked Ray this question of, like, is Japan, like, familiar with this topic? Like, is this something taught at Japanese schools? I would presume so, but maybe not, which is how I tried to rationalize, like, maybe it was just a really interesting unknown topic, that maybe that's why it was a curiosity, that's why. But no, of course, like everyone in the rest of the world, they learnt about this period of history. So I'm like, so it's not even a novelty thing. It's not even because, like, oh, we don't know much about this. I'm reading this because I'm interested in the actual history behind this. It must mean because there's something else going on. But it, for a thrill, I guess it's a technically a thriller, like a psychological thriller drama.
Maybe.
It doesn't have any of those elements. I mean, it has drama, but for anyone who hasn't read this, the characters die all the time. Like, the main characters, we have a revolving cast of main characters.
Yeah, they, like, discover that the Earth revolves around the sun, and then they get killed by the church, but then they left behind a notebook, so somebody finds the notebook, and then they discover that the Earth revolves around the sun, and then they get killed by the church, but they left behind their notebook, and it's so tiring.
it's so fucking bad. I'm like, I feel like, obviously with that kind of setup, you have absolutely no connection to the characters. And I guess it's demanding you to, like, have a connection with this idea that, like, scientific truth will prevail. Which, okay. But, like, I don't like any of these characters. They're not interesting.
They're not, like, I was gonna say that I think I realized that the thing that ties these two series that we're kvetching about today together is the Reddit new atheist vibes of both of them.
Oh, yes. Fucking yes. 100, that is spot on, 100%.
Some, like, high school boy who just discovered the Catholic Church is corrupt. Like... Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Guys, I've cracked it. You'll never believe what I've discovered. It's like,
these,
yeah, mate,
these
everyone
sheeple,
knew that.
They don't understand.
These sheeple. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like, mate, that's only been the last 500 years. You're not, you didn't discover this. This is not, no.
And it also bothers me so much that, like, I went into this book expecting it to be about, like, actual historical figures, since it's, like, about, you know, a scientific theory. But
yeah,
it's all fictional people, and they're all the same, like, Reddit new atheist guy, and they're really annoying. And it's like, why not just, like, write a book about Galileo? He was an interesting guy.
Yeah.
All of these incredibly fascinating, interesting, weirdo, like, astronomers from history, like, who have cool life stories, like, why make up a dude?
And, like, you know what the cool thing about Galileo? He wasn't killed by the Catholic Church. He fucking proved it. Why don't we have that? That feels like a much more interesting story. Yes, to your point, I agree. I don't necessarily think I went into this expecting, like, a real-life historical figure as the main character, but I did expect, like, there would be involved. Our fictional main character goes to wherever and meets XYZ, who has been doing this and is, you know, has been exiled
becomes
by the church.
Becomes his apprentice or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, you have the bullshit manga thing of, like, he's the one who discovered the one thing that cracked it all, right? Like, you could do something with it and still make it manga and still make it related to a fictional person within this real life story.
Make it a modern high school boy from Tokyo who goes back in time and becomes an apprentice to Copernicus. I do not care.
It would be 5 million times more interesting than what we got. You're completely right, Ray, that it's the big Reddit vibes.
People keep getting their eyes stabbed out, and they're like, I don't care, because
I don't care.
I know the truth.
I'm dedicated to the what's real. I took the red pill. I know. And you're like, oh, mate, fucking, we don't
care. The red pill that the earth revolves around the sun.
Exactly. All these people just believe what the church says to them.
I just remember that first kid who's like, this smarmy-ass child in the monastery who's, like, learning his books, and he's like, you know, God isn't real. These sheeple are so stupid, they'll believe anything the church tells them. Heaven isn't real. And, like, I'm just, that's, like, the first, like, I swear, 100 pages of the book before this asshole gets killed by the church. But it's like,
and at that point I'm like, good, honestly,
good.
You deserved
honestly
it, mate.
Yeah.
if you had been one brain cell smarter, you could have avoided that. You're apparently so smart that you, like, have been fooling everyone for years, and you're willing to lie about your dedication to the church up until you're fucking 14 or whatever it is that he is. And then as soon as he's like, the earth revolves around the sun, he's like, no, I will commit to this, even if I die. And you're like, mate, why?
We know that he's not actually smart because he just takes, like, every single, like, math formula or whatever that he has proving that the Earth revolves around the sun, locks it in a box, and buries it in the mountains for question mark somebody to find.
Somebody to find. Also, like, 90% of that was not his work. That was just from that other guy who that also other got guy. Killed.
Oh my god. There's so many guys, G. There's so many guys. A parade of the ugliest men you've ever seen.
Is there a single woman in this first two
movies? Not even a glimpse of a single woman in this whole two volumes. Not even as, like, a love interest or, like, some sort of, you know, tragic sister or something.
There's nothing. There's not even in the background. There's not a waitress. There's not a woman who's like, oh yes, that'll be $3. Thank you. Like, why? I know that history has not been kind to women. And I know that religion has not been kind to women. But, like, they live in a country. They live, like, they live in towns. Why?
We found it. We found it, G. A series so sexist, it doesn't even have prostitutes in it. But can you imagine if this author tried to, like, draw, like, a hot woman?
A woman? Well... No, I can't imagine that.
Because that's the only kind of woman that this man would try to draw.
Yes, of course.
And it would
but then,
be a monstrosity.
A monstrosity. And I truly do not know how this series made it to serialization. Like, I straight up don't know. Because I can understand, like, the first couple chapters maybe being interesting. But as soon as that kid dies, because there's always, like, when you have the kid character, there's always the hope that, like, oh, he's gonna face adversity, but then, like, escape or do something or be smart for 1 second, and you know, it's following that character and whatever, right? Like, I can get that, but as soon as that kid dies, I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's
I guess I was supposed to like him.
And then he dies. That kid dies, and fucking jump cut to 10 years later. It's not even like someone rocks up on that his box full of notes, you know, the next year. Then apparently, you get, like, he hit it so good it took a decade for someone to find.
And then you have the guy who's like, I don't know, like, he kills people, I don't, whatever. But, like, his whole thing is, like, he's too afraid to look up at the night sky because he, like, fears the wrath of God or something. And the big, like, climactic moment in both volumes is that, like, he finally dares to look up at the night. This man has been living decades of his life looking down at the ground because he is afraid of the sky. Like, what?
Yeah,
he kills people for his job.
I know. he's truly that sensitive that he's like, the big eyeballs in the sky are judging me for my work. He's like, well, then don't do that work. Like, I feel like there's options. I know it's probably easy being a hired assassin or whatever it is that you do, but, like, it's not even that. They just, like, mug people and then kill them. And they're like, yep, that's cool. Good. I feel like he could get any other job. If he was truly that afraid of God's wrath, he could get any other job.
Yep.
Stack boxes? I don't know.
I don't know, man. But I'm just, like, imagining him just, like, he like, stretches his neck a little bit one day, because he's got, like, a stiff neck from looking down all the time, and he just, like, screams. Ah, it's so scary.
Goes into just a fucking trauma spiral. I don't know. And then we have the quote-unquote bishy monk, who I feel is meant to be hot, but like...
Yeah, but he's so ugly, and he has the monk haircut, but it's drawn really badly, so he just looks like he has a weird, like, kappa dish on his head.
Yeah.
And he's, and like, I so like... fucking edgy.
So edgy, and he's so smart, and the church can't keep this fucking bad boy down. He's just so smart and good and cool. But also, like, again, he's so smart and cool and accomplished, so much so that the church is like, oh my god, he's a problem. We have to get rid of him, maybe. Why doesn't he just, like, again, smarter people are more conniving than this. Smarter people... get through life easier because they know not to flaunt their brilliance and their talents because so that they can enjoy their brilliance and their talents without being exploited or fucking thrown in jail or burned at the cross.
It truly is the Reddit new atheist guy who doesn't realize that his shitty personality is the reason that he can't get a girlfriend. Like,
yeah.
He's like, no, it's my ideas. They're too scary.
It's my ideas. It has nothing to do with my personality, my haircut, my attitude towards women, and just people in general. I am the superior being. Nobody understands me. A Sigma male. And I just... oh, God.
So... that is the shockingly incompetent orb. Is there anything else you want to add about this train wreck before we get into the next one?
Only that it is retail price, $25 US because it's a
robbery
release. I would like listeners to know that means it is fucking $35 Australian. I was actually robbed at gunpoint when I paid for this book. If I had known.
Thank God I went with the ebook. It was a little cheaper.
Oh my god.
Oh man.
Oh my god. Anyway. On to the next one.
On to the next one. This one I remember from, like, the book stands in, like, Konbini when I was in Japan. Yeah, yeah. It's all over the place. It won awards. I don't understand why from the first volume, and I'm sure as fuck not reading anymore. So,
yeah.
This is the Darwin incident.
It truly is an incident. I almost caused an incident after reading that first volume. Ezra said, this has won a bunch of awards. It's broken, like, a bunch of sales records and stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is the story of,
a human Z.
A human Z, which is a genetic mashup of, well, it's the child, a genetic mashup child of a chimpanzee mother and a human father, which is already, like, really fucked up and weird.
Yeah.
But
it's like, it could go some interesting places, that premise.
There's, like, you know. There's a lot of bullshit in manga. I'm willing to... engage on the stupidity level, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then
especially
this baby
since it
is
means
liberated.
That the main character is a monkey.
Yeah, which we know here at Read Right to Left that is Ray's favorite.
I love monkeys.
So, you know, potential. Once again, we didn't go into this wanting to hate this. I probably wasn't ever going to be on my top favorite list, but I was like, it's got buzz. It it seems to be doing well. What is this about?
Like, I better read this first volume just in case it's amazing. Little
yes,
did I know.
You know. Oh my god. So this Human Z, as a baby, was liberated by some fucking vegan terrorists from a animal testing facility in the early 90s, or maybe late 90s, I don't know, sometime in the 90s. He is thus, well, after the, I don't really remember, like, how it happened, but he ended up in the care of a biologist and his wife, a couple, American couple, so this is all set in the U.S. as well, which
in
is,
the U.S., we'll get to its portrayal of the United States.
Yes. Yes. So it's jump cut again. It's been 15, 16 years, and our main character, Charlie, is that his name?
His name's Charlie.
The Human Z is about to fucking start high school, guys.
Start high school.
It's a Disney Channel movie. I'm not saying that this isn't the direction I expected it to go. I expected a little bit more, like, Disney Channel adventure than, like, what we got. So,
with, like, some, like,
anyway,
touching, like, ruminating on, you know, what it means to be human, what it means to be part of nature, on the side of the hijinks.
Yes.
I got none of this.
Yeah, humanity's place in, you know, the larger ecosystem, and how truly we are not that different as Homo sapiens from our chimpanzee ancestors, right? Like, blah, 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 blah. There's stuff. Again, there is potential so, yeah, we've jumped to the future. Charlie is at high school. I don't know how more people don't freak the fuck out about this, because he does not act very human a lot of the time. And he looks very much not human. Like, he has a lot of chimpanzee features, which you would expect because he is fucking half chimpanzee. I feel like too many people are too cool about this. For fucking high schoolers, people would not be this cool, chill about it. There's, like, one bully character. I'm like, mate, why is he the only one who seems to have a problem? And, yeah, like, it's framed as, like, this one girl's the only one who, like, truly is willing to open up or understand or befriend him. Charlie, our main character. But I feel like more of this, I feel like more parents would be like, what the fuck is going on at this school?
What do you mean this student is half monkey? That they show him a picture of Charlie and they're like, what the fuck is that?
What the fuck?
This is the first offense here, is that, like, Charlie, as a half-monkey character, is absolutely fucking hideous. I think there's an attempt for him to be, like, cute, but he is not. He is horrifying looking. He's not endearing, he's not cool, he's not, like, creepy in an interesting way. He just looks bad.
Creepy. Yeah, and even worse, which is so weird to say, because, like, again, this is the merging of a human and a chimpanzee. he's completely hairless. Why? Mm-hmm. How? What fucking genetics did that come from? Humans aren't hairless. In fact, people pay a lot of money to get hair removed.
And it looks so wrong that he's got, like, no hair anywhere but his head.
It's so creepy and weird. It's so, oh my god. I just, ugh.
And then, like, he's got, like, the whole, like, chimpanzee snout going on, but for some reason he has a human chin.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of logic are we trying to apply here? He has fucking chimpanzee hands and feet, but just doesn't, like, I mean, unless he's
but he's just, like,
cool guy
naked.
Fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's just...
Also, for some reason, he has superpowers.
Yeah, well, that was what I was going to say. This abomination of genetics... is somehow I don't know how many listeners are like remember their year 10 biology, but if you fuck with like one of our genetic sequences in humans, you're gonna be fucked up. Like, there is a reason we have all sorts of genetic disabilities and things that can happen that lead to all sorts of issues within our DNA. If you were trying to mishmash human DNA with chimpanzee DNA, one, obviously, like, that doesn't... We can't do it. But if it for some reason happened, if fucking science got that far, why would that child have superpowers? Why would that chimpanzee human have just, like, incredible strength and dexterity and reflexes and all of these things that I feel like human plus monkey wouldn't create? Tell me if I'm on the wrong track here, right? But I feel like there is... That's
no,
not,
didn't
I
you
know why...
that if you combine human and chimpanzee, you actually create the superpower gene? It's an incredible discovery.
That must be what we injected into Captain America, because I swear to God, like, what, so anyway, he starts high school, he kind of gets bullied, but not really. He's vegan, which is an interesting point. We're going to talk about the vegans as well. His parents are vegan, so he's been raised vegan, which is not, like, I don't necessarily, the messaging on this, in this book is very strange.
It's so confused. Oh my god.
So confused. He gets bullied, but less for being, like, this horrific human monkey and more for being vegan, which is also weird.
He's really getting bullied is because he's just an absolute, like, know-it-all jackass sociopath. We're back on the Reddit New Atheist. You may know that chimpanzees are known to be really mean. They're just really fucking mean animals. And I feel like Charlie got that in spades, because he's just a smarmy little motherfucker. And I feel like he's supposed to be lovable, but he is a psychopath.
Yes. He's meant to be, like, this measured, lovable, smart, but kind of a little bit maybe unhinged character who does have that just, like, little streak of animal sensibility or whatever the fuck. Instead, he is just the worst. There's so much rage behind those dead eyes. And I just...
It's dead anime eyes.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. And
showing up in my nightmares.
I said that with Orb, there is no, like, every mother loves its child. Charlie has a loving mother. Almost too loving. I don't know what... I don't know why his parents...
Yeah, he's got great parents.
He's got fantastic great parents, and I'm just like, how did he end up like this? What could have possibly... They homeschooled him, so it is their fault, it's their influence. Something happened. Fucking something happened, and I'm not gonna blame...
And then they,
I don't know.
They meet his chimpanzee mother, that he's, you know, also known all his life. He goes to visit her, but, like, he doesn't really. He just goes to the Institute because they do, like, tests on him or whatever, and his mom just happens to be there, and he's like, I feel nothing. It's like, I mean, every single, like, at every single point that this author could introduce some aspect of Charlie that we can latch onto as human readers that is endearing, that is at all understandable. I feel like if I watch a chimpanzee in the zoo, I kind of have a feel for what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're playing, they're fighting, they're annoyed, they're sleeping, you know? So I feel like this isn't the chimpanzee's fault. I feel like there's a fundamental lack of understanding about the fact that animals also feel things and don't just have cold, dead, empty holes where their hearts should be.
Thoughts of murder. Thoughts of eradication of the human race.
Yeah, okay, so chimpanzees do have a lot of thoughts of murder, but I feel like that can be incorporated in, like, a way that is interesting or, like, possible to, like, latch onto at all as a character. He's just, like, this weird cipher.
He's so strange, and again, it comes back to the mixed messaging, because, like, if you wanted to write a story about, like, this character who is impacted, like, directly by the, like, animal kingdom versus humanity, and, or kind of lives in both worlds but doesn't really belong to either world and is adrift, right? Like, that's all good foundation stuff, and you make that character kind of the bridge between those two worlds, and you introduce this idea of animal rights and, again, humanity's place in the environment and the ecosystem and all of these things. There's stuff that could be interesting, and if you wanted to do it in the high school shenanigans kind of setting, cool, we can do that as well. It's easy to do a fish out of water, like, oh, that monkey, he's just monkeying around, kind of, like, like,
but he never monkeys around at any point in this entire book. He's so serious.
He's so fucking uptight about the weirdest bullshit. He's so sanctimonious. He just, oh my god. I mean, there's a fact they had to fucking homeschool this kid, and it wasn't because he was this horrible monkey-human hybrid. It's because he would have been just absolutely demolished by the public school system. There's no way he would have gotten through. Oh my, oh
god. I feel like, even if, you know, you want to portray a character who, like, is trapped between these two worlds, doesn't really belong in either of them, like, and, you know, has these, like, behaviors that are alien to humans and really off-putting to human society, that's fine. But he should feel something about that. He should feel like he doesn't fit in, like he's lonely, like there's something inherently wrong about him. And then there's, like, there's a starting point there for, like, a character arc where he finds a place for himself in the world, or makes his own place in the world, or doesn't, yeah. and, like, you know, has a tragic ending. Like, but no, there's no character threads here to follow at all.
He has one girl who is, like, directly injecting herself into his life. He couldn't give two shits if he had friends
or not.
He does not care.
The monkey,
he's like, oh.
The monkey does not care.
and
she is trying so hard to be his manic pixie dream girl. And he is
so
not
hard.
Having it.
So he would kill her in a second if she said the wrong thing and would feel nothing about it. And I just... Oh my god. And there's, like, her mother's like, you are never seeing that you know, monstrosity
that abomination
again.
And
she's like, no, mom! And I'm like, no, your mother is correct. Do not go near
no,
him. This
he's
is...
my friend. No, he's not. You could
Has
die
done...
in front of him and he wouldn't feel a single thing.
Has he done one nice thing for you? He saved a cat one time, but honestly, I feel like he only did that. Well, if he wasn't a vegan, I would have expected him to just eat it. Like, I don't know, but it's so alien as to, like, how much of a terror he is. Because that's the other angle you could go with this, of, like, you have this character who's half human, half monkey, but it's not the main character. That's the fucking monster we're trying to get rid of, because it's just the worst, and it's
this,
too,
like,
dangerous for us all.
Science has gone too far. This is sick. This is twisted. Animal testing is evil. You know, and then we would be on the side of the vegan terrorists, which... We are not. We unequivocally are not on the side of the vegan terrorists. They're the devil for some reason, even though the main character of the series is also a vegan. But he's, like, a good vegan, because him and his parents just, like, don't tell anyone. Like, they don't talk about it with anyone in any depth. They don't, like...
Yeah.
Encourage other people to make different, like, choices with their food. They just, you know, believe nothing. And I know the mom and the dad, like, explain why they're vegan, so I guess they do believe something, but it's like, does that actually mean anything if you're, like, fully committed to never talking about it in public?
And that's the,
like,
thing, right?
Are we trying to change the world or not?
No, right? We're just trying to hurt people in order to further our vegan agenda. Because, like, also... Yeah, so there's... As mentioned, there's this vegan terrorist group. It's very much an allegory for PETA and the likes. And, like... There's value in criticizing that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, like, fuck PETA,
but
man.
But also... Like, yeah, absolutely. But... The sheer... Like, it honestly, at this point, it's almost like these vegan terrorists, although they say that they value animal rights more than human rights, it doesn't feel like they value animal rights either. It feels like they just want to fuck shit up. And I there's no actual values that they're wanting to, like, what are they fighting against?
Why are they trying to kidnap Charlie? Why?
Why did they blow up that restaurant? Is it because they served meat? Are we blowing up every restaurant? I don't understand. Like, the animal testing facility, I can get, right? That's something where we should be fighting against. Let's not test on animals. That's
especially
all good.
If you're, like, artificially mating a human being and a chimpanzee. That's an evil facility.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think anyone in their right mind would argue that there is a need to not do that, and we should stop that. But when terrorists are like, we're gonna blow up a fancy restaurant, we don't care how many people die, I'm like, you should probably care how many people die. Maybe there was vegans in that restaurant. Do you know that? Did you ask everybody? Like, I feel like this isn't helping your cause at all. Nobody's gonna see that shit and be like, oh yes, that was a very smart and good thing that they did. Just blowing up a public space. The whole series does try to really, like, push, oh, not all vegans are like this, right? As you said, his parents are, quote-unquote, good vegans. Charlie is meant to be a good vegan. And they get a little bit sanctimonious about it, but they're also like, we're not trying to push our lifestyle on anybody. And you're like, okay, that's fine. But
then what is the series trying to say?
Exactly! Like, why?
It's okay to believe things as long as you sit down and shut up. Believe whatever you want. Just don't talk about it.
Never mention it.
Don't
even...
God forbid you become an activist. Fuck you.
Try to better the world. And that's the thing as well, is that, like, okay, this couple, one's a biologist or whatever, and the mother is this, like, super high-power lawyer who, I guess, is always fucking suing people who dare to question her son, which is another whole other thing. The way
well, that's what Americans do, Jules.
Ah, well, obviously. Every white woman is just a crazy Karen. Especially those with law degrees.
Interesting that you would mention white, because I have something important to add to the conversation.
Yes.
Which is that this series is set in America. It's a very, like, everything I know about the U.S. I learned from Hollywood movies portrayal of America, but also there are exactly two characters of color in this entire series, at least this entire first volume, and they are both vegan terrorists. One of them is, like, Chinese and looks like a World War II era comic strip character, and the other one is, like, the lead bad guy. He's the main vegan terrorist who's after Charlie, and he is black, and his racist ass character design literally jump scared me.
Oh my god, it's so bad. It's so bad. And at this point, at the end of Volume 1, he is the only person of color, because our Chinese character got fucking stabbed.
Got fucking stabbed,
So I presume he's dead, because, once again, what is human life if we are trying to liberate the animals? I just... It's
what is human when monkey?
Like, Japan already has an issue with race. We know this. There is a multitude of manga with just really, really inappropriate and bad racial caricature across the board. Of black people are very obviously those people who are affected, but any sort of non-Japanese Asian also get smeared with this brush all of the time. Every so often you might get, you know, some kind of non-American white person from, you know, Eastern Europe or something that gets not done very well, but... Oh my god, this is, and because this is, the series is drawn in kind of a more realistic, quote unquote, realistic manner, it feels that much more dirty, right? Like, if this was, had a more cartoony style, and I'm not saying this is like, oh, and then the racism would be fine. No, it would still not be fine, but, oh god, like, seeing... that kind of just blatant way in that these characters are constructed is actually like stomach turning. I could not believe that in 2023, now 2024, this is a series that got licensed and is getting a wide distribution from a major publisher. I don't care how intriguing the vegan terrorism is. I just don't.
Well, it reminds me of that super racist character design from like early in the Promised Neverland, where it's like,
yes,
they're using these like grotesque, exaggerated facial expressions just for that character.
Yes.
To, like, it's minstrelsy. Like, the way they move this character's face is minstrelsy. It is sickening.
Like, yeah. And it's, the entire series hinges on, well, I don't know at this point, but I guess it hinges on Charlie wanting to... does he want to join these terrorists? Does he want to kill these terrorists?
I think he wants to kill them.
I think so, but truly, I don't...
But it's like, why?
Why
you've
would
shown
he do
no
that?
Affection for anyone or anything in this entire book.
It's, yeah, what is Charlie's motivations in any one point aside from I be monkey brain, but also human brain, and superpowers, and Reddit guy.
Monkeys.
Oh my god.
I love monkeys because they have such wonderful big personalities, and
yes,
I don't know where this boy came from.
He came from our nightmares, Ray. He straight up came from our nightmares. Because
this is my sleep paralysis demon.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Also, the other thing with this series, I don't know about you, Ray, it felt like it took me a million years to read this single volume.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, my God.
Which shouldn't be the case, because there are, like, action sequences and, like, a lot of stuff going on. And, as said, like, things being blown up and every moment... It feels like we are focusing on the wrong thing in every aspect.
At every second of this book. It's like there's interesting stuff going on, and we are not being allowed to look at it. We have to listen to Charlie's stupid parents talk about being vegan some more.
But
Charlie talk
vegan.
About his... The fact that he would not hesitate to murder everyone around him at the slightest provocation.
Do you know what I really...
Manic pixie dream girl being like, but he's a gentle spirit.
He's a gentle spirit. He truly is the only good person in
existence.
He's
a mirror to ourselves.
Girl, holy shit. Oh my god. So, honestly, the only way that this series could win me back is if his entire high school is radicalized against him and they team together to just fucking murder this humanzee. He should have been killed at birth. He should have been killed at birth, this monstrosity. I don't know why they allowed him to be born.
There you go, you guys. This book has officially radicalized G.
I'm going to eat so much more meat now. I'm going to kill so many more animals. Oh my god.
I'm a carnivore now.
This is truly the most anti-vegan propaganda there is, and it's so effective. Oh my god.
This book is just the length of a normal manga volume. You know, I was thinking as we were talking about Charlie and his weird monologues that are so boring and so long. Of the similarity there to Don't Call It Mystery, having quite a quirky, sort of offbeat
main character,
main character who has, like, interesting, quirky things to say about, like, observations about the people around him. But see, that guy's likable, though.
Yeah. He's got a funny personality little quirks. That isn't...
Feelings. He's got a backstory. He's got actually interesting things to say.
Yeah, I mean, he also has that, like, that hidden dark streak in him mm-hmm. from what we implied his horrible backstory. And he has more of a personality than, like, I would not cry if he died in front of me. Totono is so much more interesting to read about, to watch him be just like the quirky, weird little detective guy, which is what, like, that's what makes a good detective, is just being a quirky mm-hmm. guy, a quirky little weirdo.
And I feel like this series, The Darwin mm-hmm. Incident, is attempting to do this with Charlie and failing so spectacularly.
Yeah.
More spectacularly absolutely. Than I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. This truly is maybe one of, like, this truly is one of the worst things I've ever read. Bar none, not just to manga, not just retained to manga. I am not sure how it's made it to 12 or 13 volumes or however long it is in Japan now. I'm just aghast that this humanzee in the reality of this its own fiction has allowed Charlie to exist this long. Like, I feel like the US government, as soon as they found out this monkey had superpowers, would have just shot him in the head. Like, I know they tried mm-hmm. to, and he was just that fast, but I feel like he has to sleep sometime. What are all of our taxes going to, if not the military, to kill this goddamn monkey?
They try to shoot this hideous monkey, but he, like, goes feral and kills all of them. And you just have his glowing anime eyes in the dark.
Yeah.
And he's still so ugly.
He's so ugly. I'm like, why didn't they get a sniper team? Can truly the U.S. military not take down this one monkey? He's 15, for God's sake. Just, oh my God. If there was a terrorist group formed to kill this monkey, I would join it. I am not afraid to say that. I do not want.
I would donate money. Yeah.
I would be an active member of this group, because I cannot allow it to exist, that creature to exist in the same world as me. Oh my God. that was the Darwin incident.
You know what I think of the Darwin incident at the end of the day?
What? Yeah.
It's just a whole lot of monkey business.
Why can't these characters stop monkeying around?
It's bananas! Which seems like a good note to end on.
Truly bananas. Thank you everyone for listening to this exclusive hater episode of Read Right to Left. We try to keep things positive here, but sometimes we are God's strongest soldiers. We could not fight this. we had to pass this message on to all of you to perhaps protect you from your own exposure.
The Darwin incident.
The Darwin incident. Oh my god. As quick reminder, next month we are doing a spotlight episode. Oh, this month. Oh my god, it's January 2024. Oh my god. We are doing a spotlight episode on Usamaru Furuya. Is that who we're doing it on? Yes. And
yes.
So send in your questions, comments, all that fun stuff. As per usual, you can find this podcast on all the major podcasting platforms, all of them that still exist, namely Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. But you can also find it on my personal YouTube channel, Simply G. That's also there on that podcasting, like, as a podcast on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You can further find us on social media, or we are both on X, nay, Twitter. My handle is @G, that's GEE _ reads, and be sure to follow the marvelous, wonderful, Ray, @ Whimsical Pix, that's PIX. She is wonderful. So do that. Is there anything else you need to plug before? Oh, so many theater girls. Anything you need to plug before we sign off?
Not really. Hopefully this year is better than the last one.
Only way we can go is up. Please.
Please.
Thank you everyone so much for listening. We will catch you in the next episode. Bye till then.
Bye guys.